Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
It's a pleasure to be here, and we really do consider it an honor. I don't know how many of y'all know about Teen Challenge, but we've been in the Knoxville area since 1982 and started out as a counseling center, and we still have that counseling center in Knoxville. We started out over on Broadway in Knoxville. We're now in East Knoxville over off of Linden Avenue and Martin Luther King. And we don't charge for any of our services in the counseling center. It is Christian-based counseling, of course, because Jesus is our answer. I don't know, Alan, if y'all have those brochures, if everybody got one or not, but it can explain a lot about Teen Challenge. I just want to let you know about the two aspects of the counseling center. Through that counseling center, we have over 3,000 calls a year come through. And part of those are for those who are dealing with drugs and alcohol. Part of it through the counseling center is marital, fear, anger, hardened heart. There's just any kind of life-controlling issues that might come through the center. And we have counselors there who administer the Word of God and teach people how to come out of their life-controlling problems according to God's Word, how to come out of them. And, well, we also teach them how they got there, how to come out, and how to stay out according to God's Word. Through that same counseling center, we do referrals into long-term Teen Challenge programs. Teen Challenge has, since the late 50s, if you don't have the book, there's some out on the front. You can feel free to take one about the, David Wilkerson and how Teen Challenge began. And he began in the late 50s just working with the kids in New York City. And Teen Challenge now has over 200 centers across the United States. And they also have over 300 internationally, globally. So it has grown because the need is there. The need is very, very great. And so the Teen Challenge, basically the long-term focuses on the drug and alcohol issues. Even though we know that the drug and alcohol is not the problem. And sin is the issue. And the answer to any sin problem is Jesus Christ. And so with that particular thought in mind, we have an 86% cure rate. The government has a 10 to 12% cure rate. We'd have 100% cure rate if all those that we taught how to stand and live in the Word of God would do so. See, everybody has choices to make. But 76% of them choose to follow through on what they've been taught and following the Lord. And so we're really... I can't say we're proud. We're proud of Jesus. That's what we're proud of. We're proud of Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. And so because we can place men so quickly, and we can, for $750 on a bus ticket, I can place a man in a year and a half program. And we couldn't do that for the ladies, though. The ladies have to have a whole lot more takes place. Pregnancy tests, pap smears. I mean, there's just a whole lot of things you have to do before you can get them in to that year and a half program. And we kept losing the ladies back to the streets or back to their situations or not being able to help them or to facilitate them getting into the long term. In 2006, I think we placed like 25 to 30 men and we only placed two ladies. We opened our Ladies Crisis Center because of that strong need in June of 2007. We opened the Crisis Center, and since then, in only 2 years, we've had over 100 women come through. And so the need's always been there. We've just not always been able to take care of that need or to help them with that need. So we're very grateful that God has allowed us to do that. And I've got a young lady I'm very proud of, Tanika. Would you come up here, doll? And Tanika is going to share her testimony with you.
Hello, my name is Tanika. I'm 29 years old. I was born and raised in Knoxville. I've been in church all my life. My grandmother's a pastor, and so every time the church doors open, I was there. At age 14, I started rebelling from God. I started smoking marijuana and cigarettes. At age 15, I started selling crack cocaine and marijuana. For the next 13 years of my life, I had all the money, all the material things I wanted, but I knew my life wasn't right because I didn't have God in it. 4 years ago, I started using my own product, crack cocaine, and my life spiraled out of control. I lost the respect of my family and my kids. 14 months ago, I was in my grandmother's living room, and I was just so desperate, and I was just so tired. The devil just beat me up, and I wanted to change my life. And I called the crisis center, and Miss Barbara talked to me. And she said, how long will it take for you to get here? I said, 5 minutes. I was there within like 4 or 5 minutes. And I stayed there for 2 weeks, and they placed me in. We prayed about where I was going, and I went to Muskegon, Michigan, and I stayed there for 12 months, and that was the best 12 months of my life. God really changed my life. I knew about God, but now I have an intimacy, relationship with God. He is first in my life. Without Him, I'm nothing. And I stand on submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Draw not to God, and the saint will flee from you. And I just want to thank Miss Barbara for everything and not giving up on me when I called. And y'all just keep me in your prayers as I go stronger in God.
I'm very proud of Tanika. She toughed it out and went to the winter wonderland in Michigan. Muskegon, Michigan has a wonderful, wonderful program. They concentrate so much on the Word of God. They just pour it into them. They have to memorize certain amounts of scriptures, and they keep them on their toes. And I'm grateful for that. The Lord is just so marvelous. And you think about sometimes how for granted we take the Lord Jesus Christ. When you even think about it, we worship Him, we praise Him, we come together, we shout, we sing, but then when we leave here, sometimes we rarely think of Him. And we don't think of Him as being a daily part of our lives, our breath, our life, who He is. If I get up in the morning, somebody asks me, I said, do you ask Him about everything? Yes, if I'm having a bad hair day, I scream, Lord, I need help. I need help. I mean, he's there. I mean, there's such trivial things it seems like. But God is there. And the key is do you know Him? Do you know Him? I mean, how long has it been since you were born again? But how do you know Him? And in what ways do you know Him? Has your experience with Jesus Christ been? And what can you testify to? Can you testify of who He is? Can you testify to this world about what He's done for you? Can you testify about who He is in you and who you are in Him? What is your testimony in this world? What is it that God has given you that you can share with the rest of the world on a daily basis? Testimony, Tanika's going to learn that it's walking it out. Testimony is walking it out. It's a day-to-day adventure in life. And Christ should be number one thought on our minds at all time. We were talking on the way up here about her plans and how we're going to help facilitate that and what we're going to do. And out of all of my babblings, I all of a sudden I stopped and I said, well, okay, this is what Miss Barbara's got going through her head. So let's slow down and see what God's got going through His and what the Lord wants to happen here and what God wants for every moment of our lives. Acts 20 and verse 24. Paul is with a group of fellows. This is what Paul says here at this point. He says, I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. He said, I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself. You know, I'm not sure that we could all say that. I'm not sure that we could testify with Paul to saying my life and my plans mean absolutely nothing. I was listening as I was getting ready this morning. I can't even tell you who the preacher's name was. I didn't know him. But it was an excellent testimony on our sermon on prosperity, actually one that was really grounded in the Word and not just in what we want. But he was talking about when the rich young ruler came to Christ. And Christ, he said, "Well, man, I've been good. I've followed all the rules. I've followed all the rules. I've done everything that God has asked me to do." And Jesus said, "Well, good. Go on home, sell everything you have, and come back, and let's give it all away." And it stunned him, you know. And sometimes we're kind of judgmental of that young man. But the truth is, if your pastor came in this morning and said, after we've done all the shouting and the singing and the praising and the loving and the worshiping, and our pastor looked at us and said, "You know what, I really feel strong in my heart that every one of us should go home today and sell everything we have and let's give it all away." Oh, we'd be in a tizzy. We'd be in a real panic. "I'm not sure I heard from God," you know. And that's what Christ was asking this young man to do, was to have and to know who he is and not depend on this world and the things in this world. And that has a lot to do with what we can testify to as to how we live and what we're living in. You know, I think every one of us, probably everybody in here, has been born again at some point. So everyone can testify about the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. We know about his resurrection. We know about his death, his resurrection, and now we know about his life, and we can testify to that. But I want you to think back for just a minute. In Matthew 28, where Mary Magdalene was standing there, her and all those others who were watching Christ being crucified, she did not understand what was ahead of her in just a few days. Her fears, her doubts. This was her Savior and her Lord who was being crucified. Now we could look back and we could say, "Hey Mary, just hang on a few days and you're going to see the victory through this trial. You're going to see the victory over all this pain. You're going to see the victory over all this suffering." Because we can go back and we can look. We've read the story. We know how it ends. She hadn't lived it yet. It was still taking place in her life. So when she looked at the cross, she didn't have any idea of what was ahead of her. I'm sure that all of his words ran through their minds, ran through her mind. This is the one who had cleaned her up, who had loved on her, who had given her a new life when she had no life. And now he was dying. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we live like he's dying, not like he's living. We panic, even though we've read the book and we know the story. We panic instead of testifying to what God has done. You think even when the Israelites were getting ready to go into Egypt and God had done all these wonderful things, taking them through the Red Sea, fed them manna through the wilderness, picks out 12 good men, sends them into the country, and they come back complaining and griping. All but two of them come back testifying to what God can do. 10 of them came back and said, "Whoa, wait a minute. This is what we can do, and we're not up to the challenge." And that was truth. They were not up to the challenge because they were testifying about themselves. They were not testifying about what God could do in their lives and who God was in their lives. And all through, if you'll read the book, all through there, God's going back and saying, "Stop and remember. Stop and think back. Didn't I just do this? What makes you think I'm not going to do it again? Didn't I just take you through the waters? Just didn't I now feed you manna? Didn't I bring water out of a rock? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that?" Stop and think back about what it is I'm going to do next. You think about the lady who had the water pots. And she came to Christ himself. Or at the wedding in Canaan. I can't talk all of a sudden. At the wedding in Canaan, they had the water pots. All they had left was water. All they had left was empty pots, actually. And they filled them up with water. It was a crisis, but Christ knew the end to the crisis. So he took care of it. But it wouldn't have happened if his mother hadn't had faith that he could handle the situation. She had seen him handle every situation. And he hadn't even gotten into the miracles yet. She didn't know what he was going to do. She just knew he was going to do it. And there's times after times after times in our lives when we have to begin to testify about what God is going to do. Think back about what God has done and testify to what he's going to do. My husband and I were... Thank you. My husband and I, when we first got married, we were as broke as church mice. And it felt like everybody was after us just like they are after the church mice. And my husband made a whopping $125 a month. And I started out, baby, working at Hardee's. And then 3 months into our marriage, even though I was on birth control, got pregnant. And we had made a covenant between ourselves that once we started having children, that I would raise them. And we were going to make that sacrifice. We were just going to trust God, but he wanted me to be home raising the kids and taking care of the children and doing that. And so we had made that covenant between ourselves before we ever got married that that was something that was going to happen. And so when I got pregnant, about 3 months into my pregnancy, the doctor said I had to quit work. So we had $125, had a little three-room apartment that we were living in up above the realtor. And it was just a little bitty place. Little bitty kitchen, little bitty bathroom, little bitty bedroom, little bitty hardly room for a couch and a chair. And it was a tiny place, but it was ours, and that's all we cared. And so we were doing fairly well and considering, and we were trusting God. We actually, right before our baby was born, we moved in out into the country near the church in a trailer just down the street. It took... one quarter of his monthly income to rent that trailer. And it was a real struggle. It was a struggle to feed ourselves, and now we had a baby on the way. And so there was a lot of things happening. And then that little girl ended up coming prematurely. And she had some strange blood disease, the doctor said. And they called in all these specialists. Within 5 days, she was home. God just did some miraculous things through that. But even through all that miraculous stuff, you know, it was building up. Hospital bills, specialist, doctor, doctor, doctor. How many doctors have to look at one baby? And, you know, and then there was mine. I was having some physical trouble. And, oh, heavens, the hospital bill was phenomenal to us. And so she was born in October. And by November, the hospital was calling, trying to get James to settle the bill. We got to close out our books. And James said, well, close away. We ain't got no money. And you got to make this pledge that you'll pay so much a month. He said, I will. He said, I'll give you anywhere from $10 to $15. You can't give us $10 to $15 a month. We can't. That's just not acceptable. And he said, well, then all I know to tell you to do is to come and repossess her. And well, we can't repossess your baby. And he said, well, she's the most valuable thing I have. He said, it's either her or my $10 or $15 a month. And he said, this is what we got. And so now we've got this brand new little baby. We're deep in debt. We've got no extra income coming in but his whopping $125 a week, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in January with this tiny, and I'm talking, she was tiny, we had this little tiny teddy bear that actually wound up that somebody gave her. She wasn't any longer than the bear was, and she was just so tiny, and we had this new tiny little infant, and we'd seen God do some miraculous things in her life. And but in January, we lived in that little old trailer where the windows flapped, and when the wind blew and you tried to tape everything down, but the tape didn't seem to stick too well. And we had an oil heater, and in January, James went out to check the oil heat and came back, and he said, honey, we've got this much oil left in the heater. And he said that might last us a couple of days. And so we were broke. I mean, oil company won't come and fill up your tank and let you pay for it. You got to pay for it then. So we didn't have any money. So we only did what we knew to do. And we both got down on our knees. And we gave it to the Lord. And we asked God to take care of that situation for us. We have no resources, Lord, but you. You're it. And we are trusting you to do something for us. So a couple of days later, James went out and he checked the oil again. And he came back and he looked at me and he said, I must have held the stick crooked. He said, we got that much oil left. And he said, so we got a couple of more days to see what God's going to do. A week later, James went back out and he came back just grinning. And he said, we have this much oil left in the tank. He said, so we got a couple of more days to see what God will do. with a smile on his face. I mean, we were thinking somebody's going to send us $300 to fill the oil tank up, or somebody will provide heaters, or, you know, there was going to be some, God was going to do something. We just never imagined what. We had our own ideas about what God might do. And so a month later, James checked the oil again, and we had that much oil left in the tank. And 2 months later, we had that much oil left in the tank. And then somewhere in March, April, May, I can't even remember the months. It was 3 to 4 months when we no longer needed the furnace, and we turned the baby off. The oil was gone. I can testify to you that I know him as a provider. I can testify to you that I know him as my deliverer. God is able. And you know what? When I go through the least little trouble, I go back and think, man, you did this. How marvelous was that? Oh, you did this. How marvelous was that? What am I going to worry about? I can't even out imagine you. I can't even out imagine God. He doesn't even do things the way that I imagine that he will. I mean, I go to him, and how many of you go to him, Lord, this would be a great answer to my problem, and here's how I'd like it solved. And God's going over here, well, you know, I really got this. This is really creative. Let me be a little creative here for you. And we're over here worrying, why didn't you do it our way? Why didn't you do it my way? And God's, because I'm over here being creative. I'm over here doing what I am best, a creator of all things. When that wasn't the end of our hard times. Y'all know that. Hard times come and go all the time. And so that precious little baby and a little brother was born, and both of them now are about 8 or 9 years old, and James gets laid off from work, and he was making a little more money, not a whole lot, but he was making more, and we're doing all right. But he gets laid off. This layoff lasts for about 4 months. And so toward the end of that 4 months, we're down to popcorn and pinto beans, and just thanking God for the popcorn and pinto beans. But I'd been praying. I said, God, I want some good stuff. I want some good stuff to feed my babies. And I had prayed for meat. I had prayed for green beans and fresh foods and vegetables. I really prayed that God would provide good, substantial food for me to feed my children. And so we're at this place, we're in the middle of this hard struggle, and we're at church one morning, and my son Jesse loves, as always, I'm honest to Pete, the moment I cut his curls from there, it was buzz my hair, buzz my hair. His papaw, who he loved, was completely bald, and he wanted to look like his papaw. And so he constantly kept that head buzzed. And so he had gone to church, and that morning some lady, his hair was getting a little long, and some lady had given him $5 to go get his hair cut. I didn't have enough money to drive to Halls, because we lived 10 miles outside of Halls at the time. I didn't have money to drive to Halls to get his hair cut. I said, Jesse, I'd have to put $5 in the car to get us there. And he said, oh, please, Mom, oh, please. And so we're working it out anyway. So we go the next day, and I get everything done, and we come out of the barbershop, and I'm ready to go to get what little chores I have done. I'm going to buy some milk and bread while we're there and pay a couple of bills and then go back home. But as I was coming out of the after he got his hair cut, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go home. I said, Lord, I can't go home. Don't have my chores finished yet. Give me just an hour. Just let me run and pay these bills. And the Holy Spirit just smacking me up the back of the head. You ever gotten one of those? Just go home. So I look over at my daughter and I said, Candy, we got to go home. And she says, Mom, you can't go home. You don't have your chores done yet. Oh, God, she sounds just like me. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit wants us to go home, so we're going home, whether we got our chores done or not. So I go home, and sure enough, on my front porch stands a friend from another county, Anderson County, matter of fact, up in Andersonville, Pastor David Snodderly and his wife, Beth. They're no longer there. They're in California. But at that time, we were such very, very close friends. But I hadn't seen them in a few months. But their church had been praying for me and James, and they didn't know why. And David had been busy and hadn't called, and we hadn't called. We hadn't connected in a few months. But he's standing on the front porch, and he says, well, the church was praying, and some of the ladies came to me and said, well, we really need to do something. And they didn't know why, but they had prepared this whole station wagon full of groceries and food, and it filled my kitchen. I mean, it really did. We was putting all this stuff away later, and after we'd thanked David, and he'd gone, and was praising the Lord, and Candy pops up, and she says, Mom, out of all this food, she says, there's no junk food. She said, there's no chips, there's no cookies, there's all this wonderful food, and there's no junk food. Mom, I gotta have some junk food. And I said, Candace, I did not pray for junk food. I said, I prayed for this, and I got this. I said, if you have a need, you go pray for it. I'm not your provider. God is. And so less than a week later, I get another phone call from a friend down the street. Said, Barbara said, would you care if we brought this stuff to you? And I said, why? And she said, well, I've just got a whole bunch. The neighbor has this stuff, and they want us to bring it to you. Would you be offended? No, bring it on. I said, I got plenty, and whatever I have left over, I'll share. I've got friends who are in need, too. I'll just share it. So bring it on. And so she brought it on, and we lived in an old country farmhouse at that time, and the kitchen was as wide as the house. So we had a huge kitchen, but there were these huge, big boxes, 8 to 9 of them she brought in. 8 to 9, and we started opening those boxes, and every bit of it was Keebler junk food. Crackers, cookies, chips, anything you can imagine. It wasn't Food Lion or Kroger junk food. It was Keebler junk food. Anything that they made, we had in our kitchen. And I stopped and I looked at my sister-in-law and I said, Martha, where'd this stuff come from? And she smiled and she said, well, Ralph was driving down the interstate, and he was in his half-ton truck, and said he was empty, and the traffic was stopped. The cops came up to him, said, we've got to get this cleared off. There's boxes of this stuff. Can we put it in your truck? You can do whatever you want to with it. And he said, sure. So during this time, and so you get the idea, Keebler truck's turned over. All right, so during this time, Candy's jumping up and down through the house going, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And so I stopped her. I said, Candace, come here, come here, come here. And I said, baby, you don't think that God turned that Keebler truck over to send you your junk food, do you? She looked at me, Genevieve. She looked me right in the eye and she said, oh, no, Mama. God wouldn't do that. She said, he knew that truck was going to turn over, and he sent Ralph to get the stuff. So I can testify about how God loves good food, but he didn't mind delivering the junk food either. God cares about who we are, and about what we feel and understands us. Our part is to trust and to believe and to testify, not to worry, not to fret, not to carry on about what may or may not happen, but to trust God through the hard times. How many times have you experienced deliverance? Those are the things that you have to testify about and that you stand upon. If I come to you testifying about all these wonderful things and next week I face a hard and difficult circumstance and I'm whining and crying, what I testified to you about is useless because I'm not trusting in what God's going to do for me. I'm trusting and looking at my circumstances and not in God. He is our deliverer. He is our life, our resurrection, our salvation. He is our forgiver. How many of y'all met that forgiver? Have you met him as your forgiver? Over and over and over, God has forgiven me. It is a life thing. I have been forgiven. I am forgiven and I'm going to be forgiven. I walk in that forgiveness and I stand in the testimony that God is a forgiver, that Jesus Christ is the forgiver. I love John, 1 John 1:9 that says, I'm getting ready to quote 2 Corinthians 5:21. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Any of y'all ever changed a dirty diaper? Yeah, I've got two grandbabies right now. One of them's still filling a diaper. And so we change them frequently. Now, how do you know when a baby needs changing? They don't come up and say, hey, Mom, it's time to change it. Because if they are, it's time for potty training. But what you do is you smell them. You can smell the stench. And you go, ooh, somebody needs to be changed. And everybody's grimacing and carrying on. And we make a big deal out of something that's very natural. We make a big deal out of it. No wonder they have a hard time potty training. Anyway, we do. We make a big deal out of a dirty diaper. And we grimace and we carry on. All right, when you get that dirty diaper, let's say that Kaylin Grace, she's 19 months, 20 months, somewhere around there right now. But if she had it all over her, I would take her to the bathtub and I would take her to the shower and we would clean her up from head to toe. I would not leave part of it on her to remember the experience. I would clean her up. And then when I get through with cleaning her up, I don't put the old diaper back on her. Guess what I do with it? I get it out of the house. I take it away from me. We don't even leave them in the bathroom to smell when we come back. We get them outside in the trash can and as far away from us as possible. And her papa, he is great at the very next morning getting up and hauling the garbage off. He does it on a daily basis because he hates smelling dirty diapers. So we get it as far away as possible. So do you think that when God cleans you up, that He leaves part of it on you just so you and He can remember the experience? No, our sins are like a stench in His nostrils. He doesn't want to smell that. He cleans us up. 1 John 1:9 says that He cleans us up. He fills us full of His righteousness. He totally cleans. He wipes away all the sin. He wipes it away. He cleans it up. And then He takes that nasty diaper and He throws it as far as the east is from the west, according to Psalms. Now, why did He say east from west instead of north from south? Little geography, because the north and south meet. You can head north. You can only go so far north until you start going south again. But you can go east and west forever. No matter where you're at in the world, you can continue to go west, continue to go west. But you hit the North Pole, you can't continue to go up unless you got yourself a rocket. You can only begin to head south again. So north and south meet. East and west never meet. So when God says that I'm throwing your sins as far as the east is from the west, it's because they never meet. They can't be found. There's another scripture in Psalms that says He throws them into the bottom of the sea, into the depths of the ocean, where they're to be remembered no more. It's not that He can't remember them. It's that He chooses not to. It's no longer an issue for Him. So that forgiveness is that those sins are buried. They're put away from Him. Not to be remembered anymore. Not to go dig them up. We're the only ones that go scuba diving. We're the only ones that go after them. God has forgiven them. And it's ourselves that we need to forgive. So we need to practice what God has done. So I can testify of God about his resurrection, about the life. I can testify about the deliverance. I can testify about his forgiveness, about his provision, about everything that he is. The question is, how do you know him? Do you allow God to be who he is on a daily basis? Whether you got money, whether you don't got money. God doesn't need our money. I mean, how many of you, I know I have, seen a need and say, oh, Lord, I wished I had the money to meet that need. God don't need your money. He doesn't need to make us wealthy to provide for his children. He's the provider. And he does want us to pray and to seek his face. And then if he asks us to go sell everything we've got and give it to him, then that's an act of obedience. But he doesn't need that in order to take care of what he needs to do. He is very capable of handling the situation even without us. Go figure. I don't know how he got along without us, you know. I just sometimes think that we as a church can't figure out how God got along without us. What would he do if we didn't exist? We have to understand who he is and let him be who he is in our lives on a daily basis. To have a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you testify of his healing? Sure. Can you testify of his love? Can you testify that he's an all-sufficient Savior? That everything that he is, everything I need is wrapped up in him? Can you testify that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Can you testify that he is the all-powerful one? In Revelations 12 and 11 it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My whining and griping and crying and pleading and begging isn't going to change a thing. But my testimony of a risen Savior who can meet my needs, who can meet your needs, who will and always will be my provider, my deliverer. He's everything I need. It's all wrapped up in him. Now that will testify. And that will bring about results. That will bring about results. I'm telling you, sometimes it becomes so simple I get amazed. We were in the need, honest to Pete, you'd be surprised at how much toilet paper women use. Running a ladies' crisis center, our number one need is always toilet paper. And so one day they came in and looked at the office, or came into my office, one of them, and I had some other ladies standing there and said, Miss Barbara, we're in need of toilet paper. I said, okay, hold on a minute, let me pray about it. She said, pray about it? Why don't you just run down to Kroger? I just laughed. She said, because I'm busy. Let me pray about it. And no more than I had said, let me pray about it. And this wasn't to my prayer because I had not yet prayed. But the phone rang at the same time as we was having this conversation. And a gentleman from a church said, I have a carload full of toilet paper and paper products that I would like to bring to you, and I'm on my way in that direction. Can I drop them off? And I laughed, and I said, sure you can. Bring them on. And hung up, and somebody, I said, well, there's a gentleman coming, and he's going to bring some supplies. And every one of them looked at me and said, what is it? And I just smiled and said, toilet paper. God is so ahead of us. He didn't do that for me. He did that because those girls needed to know that he cares about toilet paper. That he already had the supply before we even talked about it. Before we ran out, there was another supply coming. So if God is so concerned about something like toilet paper, which it is a pretty big need in our generation, but if God is so concerned about something like that, isn't he going to be so much more concerned about other things in your daily life? The comings and the goings of who you are and who he is. That's what he's wrapped up in. He is wrapped up in you. And he just wants you to be wrapped up in him. So so that you can testify about what he's going to do. Tanika, you have a wonderful testimony about your past, but you have an even greater testimony about your future and what God is going to do. Every one of us have some wonderful testimonies about the past. How old are they? How old is your testimony? Because it's something we live, we walk out, we talk about what God has done on a daily basis. The wonderful things that God supplies. How do you know Him? How's your testimony? What do you have to testify about your relationship between you and God this morning? Wasn't it a wonderful, sweet time this morning? What about before you got here? About when you woke up. He wants you not because he needs it. It's because he's in love with you. And his relationship with you, he wants on a moment to moment to moment basis. Tomorrow, I will have a brand new testimony. Because it'll be a brand new adventure about what God is doing in my life. Every day we need to seek out God and let Him be the creative, wonderful, wonderful God that He is in our lives. Maybe you are in need of the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, the provider. Maybe you are in need of experiencing Him in those ways today. I want us to take time to pray for you, to let you know that God is a powerful God. Powerful, powerful God. And yet a friend at the same time. That's hard to imagine sometimes, isn't it? How the Creator of the universe actually lives and dwells inside of you. Wow, what a testimony. How the Creator of the universe thinks about me on a daily basis, thinks about you on a moment-to-moment basis, is willing to stop and talk with me at any moment. God's love is not contingent upon your obedience. His discipline is, but not His love. When your kids get in trouble, you don't quit loving them, but you do discipline. So His love for you is not contingent upon how good you are. His discipline is. So we have a God who loves us, never ceases to love us, and wants to be a testimony in your life. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we so thank you for your graciousness. Father, I pray that your heart and your mind will be spoken here today. Not through what I say, Father, but through your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that I've got brothers and sisters here today who are facing different needs, different circumstances that have come up against them. And Lord, I pray that you would cause them to be able to remember back. Lord, we want to stand in agreement with them now that they have a testimony, Lord, about what you're going to do through these circumstances. Lord, I just ask you right now, just in this sweet, quiet time, that you begin to speak. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone here who has never received Christ as their Savior, I pray that first, Lord, that they may know him and that they may be able to testify of who he is. That life in Jesus. Lord, just let your precious Spirit move. And let your name be glorified, testified about, Lord, at how marvelous you are. We just love you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. But as you begin to worship, if you have a need of prayer, I just want you to come on down. And Alan, if you'll join me, and we'll lift anybody up in prayer who needs it. If you've never met Christ, come and receive him as your Savior. Thank you, Jesus.